This is Pure Decking, show number 322 for Thursday, what's it say, the 20th September, whatever the fuck today is, you know, whatever the current year is. I'm sure the SJWs will tell us shortly. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, excessive drinking, and hiding in the bunker with Alex Jones. I'm Morps, and tonight, I have Madman. Madman, what interesting or lively thing do you wish to convey?
You know where Alex Jones' bunker is? I thought he kept that a secret. It's like with Mark Levin's bunker. Did you get an invitation I was not aware of?
Guess I wasn't supposed to broadcast that one. Turns out it's not really a bunker so much as a rental storage unit, but, you know, potato, potato.
So long as he reinforced it. Yeah, I don't know. Duct tape the everything. Duct tape keeps stuff out, right?
He covered it in that red tape to keep the demons out.
Nice.
Are you? What interesting or whatever? I don't know. What do you want to?
Do the demons smell like sulfur? That's my question.
That's stereotypical. I think it's cinnamon and sugar.
Strangely more like potpourri.
Great. I thought it'd be like really cheap incense that some like college dope head would use.
No, they only use that when they're hungry. Anyways,
I don't know. According to Stephen King, they smell like heroin.
They smell like heroin.
Yeah. Dark Tower series?
Yeah.
On his back, they wrote a demon, and the demon's name was heroin.
I think that's something different.
Possibly.
You know, honestly speaking, I don't know what heroin smells like.
Neither do I.
I'm going to go with similar to poppies. So find a poppy seed, huff it, and might smell heroin.
You're going to be really confusing at the bakery. What are you doing to that bagel, sir? Well, when I'm done with this, I'm going to smell it. So
huffing bagels. That sounds like something you do in San Francisco.
No, you do something else with the bagels in San Francisco. We're not allowed to talk about it.
Smoke weed every day.
Weed bagels. There'd probably be a lot of people down for that. So, you know, I'm... So, drinks. I'm currently drinking... Jim Beam Devil's Cut, because that's in the decanter next to the keyboard, and I haven't bothered to go downstairs. Madman, did you have anything you wanted to impart?
Oh, I'm drinking a Killian's Irish Red, although Budweiser's gotten into the putting beer in whiskey barrels, and I'm almost thinking of buying one.
Just to see?
Yeah, it's aged in Jim Beam barrels.
Well, you know, the Budweiser Dark actually wasn't terrible. I mean, I never bought it after the one time, but it wasn't terrible. So I don't know. Are you at ask, but I'm fairly confident that you're just over there drinking the runoff from Detroit.
Yeah, I'm cloud secretion. But, yeah.
Cloud secretion. That's the shit that comes off the Amazon servers.
Yes, I'm drinking celebrity naked photos.
Oh, well, you and about half the internet. Mm-hmm. So, let's see. I like what Psychro said. Aged in Jim Beam barrels. That's trailer park fancy. Yeah.
$100 to fuck off.
So, I guess we'll get into this. So, Linux blew up over the past couple of days.
And how? Sorry I had to bring that to your attention, Morps.
No, I would have found it anyways. So let's start off. Ars Technica has a summary. I'm not going to call it a great summary, but I have a summary. Linux creator Linus Torvalds has apologized for years of rants, swearing, and general hostility directed at other Linux developers, saying he's going to take a temporary break from his role as maintainer of the open source kernel to learn how to behave better. For many years, Torvalds has been infamous for his expletive-filled aggressive outbursts on the Linux kernel mailing list, chewing out developers who submit patches that he believes aren't up to the standards necessary for the kernel. He's defended this behavior in the face of pushback from other developers, insisting that people be nice to one another was an American ideology.
No, it's not.
But that may be coming to an end. In a lengthy email posted to the LKML on Sunday night, Torvalds expressed a change of heart, taking to task over attacks that he recognizes were unprofessional and uncalled for. He says he now recognizes that his behavior was not okay and he is truly sorry. He's going to step back from kernel development for a while, something he's done before while developing Git, so that he can get help on how to behave differently. Oh, dear God. It's not entirely clear what precipitated this change, though Torvalds did mention a little of the backstory. The Linux Maintainer Summit, an invitation-only gathering of 30 core Linux developers, takes place each year to provide a venue for kernel maintainers to discuss issues around the kernel's development process. This year's summit was due to be in Vancouver, but was moved earlier this month to Edinburgh after it turned out that Torvald had mistakenly booked a vacation in Scotland that clashed with the Vancouver event. This situation presented two options: stay in Vancouver without Torvalds, or move to Edinburgh with Torvalds. Torvalds himself preferred the first option, but his idea was met with resistance, suggesting that Torvalds' behavior, which is known to have driven some developers away from kernel development entirely, was one of the issues that the maintainers wanted to discuss. Accordingly, the decision was made to move to Edinburgh to fit in with his vacation. That such a disruptive change of venue should occur indicates there's considerable strength of feeling about Torvald's presence. Well, considering the dude wrote, like, the base layer of it and has been maintaining it for 20-some-odd years. Simultaneous with this, the Linux project now has a code of conduct. Previously, the project had a code of conflict, a short document that asserted that code quality is the only thing that matters and implores developers to be excellent to each other. The new code of conduct is more extensive and sets explicit standards for behavior, requiring it to be positive, professional, welcoming, and inclusive. Together, these changes represent a big shakeup, current kernel development process and style. Of course, it remains to be seen whether anything will actually change. Old habits die hard. Kernel developer and Torvalds critic Matthew Garrett tweeted that the changes are a long overdue step in the right direction, but that he'll believe it when he sees some actual change. By contrast, many denizens of our Linux subreddit are unimpressed, dismissing the code of conduct as made up by a completely insane, bigoted individual and claiming that the millennial snowflakes finally got to him. I do kind of wonder, with such a dramatic change in behavior, because, I mean, this is out of character. This is crazy out of character for him.
I want to go with the theory you had off air.
They kidnapped his daughter?
Yeah.
it's one of those dramatic shifts that kind of makes you wonder. It's like, did they kidnap somebody? Did the government show up with sacks of money? I mean, what happened here? You know, did he have some kind of a mental breakdown?
Perfectionist, you know, you don't go from a perfectionist asshole to, whatever, I'm just going to be nice over here.
So
you know what I mean?
I did some digging because I actually got they have links in the article to the actual code of conduct in the Linux the kernel.org Git tree, and the really weird thing about this is this thing is line for line a straight up copy, and they even have the attribution of the contributor covenant, which is. Something that's put out as an example of what a code of conduct should be by this Coraline Ada Imeke. And apparently they wrote it in 2014. And this person is obviously trans, but if you see the picture, it's not. I'm sorry. It's obviously trans. I mean, there's no. There's no two ways about
it. He's wearing a dress.
Yeah, that really does have that look to it.
Let's just say it's neither attracted to male or female anymore.
But the really weird thing about it is this person has a history of basically causing shitstorms in open source projects, especially on GitHub. You know, attacking them for not being inclusive enough, and some of the language in this code of conduct is, so standards. The examples of behavior that contribute to creating a positive environment include using welcoming and inclusive language, being respectful of differing viewpoints and experiences. I don't much care for the phrase using welcoming and inclusive language because that gets into speech police really quick.
What's up, fuckface?
Yeah, I mean, right. I don't think that's a problem, but somebody would.
Yeah, this is something I've actually been in the discussion the last couple of weeks due to discipline reasons they want on to put on kids. Because, example, two boys leaving school, one said, "See you later, fuckface." Now, they're trying to figure out, is that abuse or is that a sign of friendship?
Well, it can be either.
Yeah.
It could be either, yeah.
I mean,
context, relationship.
But we're in a world where context doesn't matter anymore. That's the issue we seem to be having.
So being respectful of different viewpoints and experiences, that's fine. Cool. No problem. Gracefully accepting constructive criticism. Okay, fine. No big deal there. Focusing on what
is best for constructive.
Well, sure. Focusing on what is best for the community, fine. Showing empathy towards other community members. Now, okay.
Those last two I'm going to call what's best for the community. That's up to the community. That's not up to the code of conduct.
Right. And showing empathy towards other community members, that is really fucking vague. So there are examples of unacceptable behavior. Use of sexualized language or imagery and unwelcome sexual attention or advances.
That's sexual vague. Harassment phrasing.
Yeah. Trolling, insulting, derogatory comments, and personal or political attack. Eh. Okay.
I think they're going to catch himself
out
on
that
one.
Okay on that
yeah.
One.
Public or private harassment, that's fine. Publishing others' private information, such as physical or electronic address without permission, that's fine. Other conduct which could be reasonably concluded. This is not... Okay, so the one in the actual repo is a little different, though. Because... Where was it? It actually had... Yeah, here... Oh, no, I'm sorry. I skipped ahead too far. It's up in the pledge. In the pledge, in the interest of fostering an open and welcoming environment, we as contributors and maintainers pledge to participation in our project and community a harassment-free experience for everyone, regardless of age, body size, disability, ethnicity, sex characteristics, gender identity and expression, level of experience, education, socioeconomic status, nationality, personal appearance, race, religion, or sexual identity and orientation. Wow.
That can be left out.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and you've got the full rainbow coalition there with everything. Also, the order's weird. Age, body size. I mean, it's alphabetical. They ended up putting in and sorting in alphabetical. So it's obviously not importance. But I'm just like, when I start reading this, the first thing, okay, age and body size. Really? Is that a problem? On
competence
a mailing list?
Is on there. Competence yeah. is on there. If you don't know how to do the job, we can't say you don't know how to do the job.
Yeah, the rest of this is fairly standard fare. There's nothing too crazy in there. project maintainers are responsible for standards of acceptable behavior. Applies to both project spaces and in public spaces within individuals representing the project. There's nothing else in here that's crazy, right? But some of these examples are really out there. And
yeah.
Again, this is so crazy out of character for the Linux kernel that it's like somebody kidnapped his dog or something, or his daughter, or I don't know. I mean, but the thing that really concerns me about this is one of the things Torvalds is known for is maintaining an incredibly high standard when it comes to the quality of the code actually making it into the kernel. And rejecting patches is going to be considered unwelcoming and uninclusive. And the moment you say, hey, that patch isn't good enough, it causes a crash in the system 20% of the time, the response is going to be, well, you're not accepting this patch because I fit category X, aren't you? And then you're going to have all this bullshit where is the kernel going to get full of bad code and cruft code? And if that's the case, does everybody need to run for BSV? BSD. BSV is up in the other channel.
Linux becomes useless in 5, 4, 3, 2.
I mean, seriously, are we going to see a fork of the kernel from right before this patch where they start to keep maintaining it with standard? Because, okay, so I guess let me. It runs for BSV, not BSD. That was my mistake. I'm sorry. But if you can't be frank with somebody with some of this stuff, it's never going to get fixed. And the fact that they're bringing this kind of SJW politics into software development, I'm worried it means substandard code is going to make it into the kernel. I honestly am worried about that because so much of... Well, my job in particular, but the world relies on this code.
Yeah.
For anybody who's not aware of how the internet works, the Linux kernel is running something like 80 to 90% of it.
It just worries me that this sort of stuff's seeping into critical infrastructure points.
Exactly.
It's bad enough it's in our hospitals and public health sector, but... We're looking at massive failures here.
And I don't see that it has a place in software development. I mean, literally most of the Linux development happens on the mailing list and in a Git tree. It's not like webcams are involved all that often. So, you know, the old joke on the internet, nobody knows you're a dog. In this case, I think can apply. I mean... Yeah. Torvalds, yeah, he could get pretty out there with his insults. I mean, he famously flicked NVIDIA the bird at one point. I mean, he's called people all kinds of stuff, usually insulting the quality of their code. But I mean, that comes from being a perfectionist and having high standards. He's not doing it because he hates somebody. He's doing it to make a point. And now, I don't know. I know they said his daughter was involved. I keep making the joke about his daughter being kidnapped, but one of the posts on Reddit, they were talking about how apparently his daughter is a signatory to some of this SJW stuff they were trying to get put into open source software. But I just don't see that this kind of SJW stuff has a place in software development.
We could expand that statement to doesn't have a place anywhere.
Well, I mean, if somebody wants to have a political discussion about this or run YouTube channels or whatever, I mean, that's where it's kind of expected. That's where, you know, where you go to some place for political speech, because that's ultimately what this is. It's political speech. And mixing that with software development just seems like a disaster. It seems like a recipe for disaster. You're going to have a collection of people who don't take it well when their code is not included in the kernel for one reason or another, and the first thing they're going to claim is discrimination. And now, granted, that's probably true of anything, but acknowledging all of that in this is sort of like giving them a stick to beat you with.
It's easy, Morps. What'll happen is people that are actually serious and competent with this will get the shits with it, and they'll go, yep, have fun, I'm off to do something else. Fuck you. I'm not dealing with this shit.
Yeah.
And then a year down the track, we're going to see Salon and all these fucking progressive pieces of shit. What happened to Linux? Oh, my God. Crisis in coding. You know, we fixed the gender balance. It's 98% women now, but it doesn't fucking work. Why? Is it that there's 2% men still in this? How do we get rid of men? That's what will end up. Meanwhile, Linux is still fucking buggy as shit.
That, or I'm thinking along the lines of, for the longest period of time, Apple had in their end-user agreement that you couldn't use Macs to run the nuclear facilities because they didn't agree with, you know, their software being used for war. They had a bunch stuff in there about that. And, okay, fine. But as much as Linux is in there, are they going to start inserting crap like, oh, I'm sorry, if you don't run a inclusive by our standards company, you can't use our software, and, you know, shit like that, which violates the original nature of the open source library, which is, or the open source licensing, which is anybody can use it regardless of all this stuff as long as you follow the rules. And the rules are always along the lines of contributing your changes back and, you know, publishing open source and making the code available. They never had anything to do with sociopolitics.
Yeah.
And now you're mixing that kind of crap in. Well, Sycros is saying the GPL forbids that, and he's right, but if they're trying to include this stuff, well, they'll just make their own license, right? They'll just fork off the GPL and do something else. They certainly wouldn't be the first. Which is why I was talking about forking Linux from where it is today to make a version that's not encumbered and all this stuff. And that'll probably happen too. Somebody's going to fork it anyways just to make their version without this. But I don't know. Are we going to say anything right away from this? No, of course not. And ultimately, there's nothing to stop distro makers from doing shit like that now. But no, Cycros, you actually can change off of the GPL if all of the people who quote-unquote own the code sign to it. So it depends, and I have not looked through the Linux contributor agreements. There are open source projects that were trying to change their license, and they discovered they couldn't because they couldn't track down all the people who contributed to them, and the contributors technically own their code. So, they have to get everyone who's contributed to it to agree to either give their code to the organization so that they can change the license. And I think Ubuntu does that with a lot of their projects. Or you have to, get them all to sign off. And all it would take is one person who's got a significant amount of code in the kernel saying, nope, you're still in GPL, and they're stuck on the GPL. But there's not, if they could, if it's not significant enough of the kernel, they could just rewrite those parts as separate code owned by somebody else who agrees to it. And there are projects out there that went closed source from open source, Nessus being a good example. And they had a contributor agreement for the organization that was just giving all the code to the organization that would later become a company, or they found everyone who's made contributions and either got permission or stripped those parts out. So, it's a lot of work, and most places that's so much work that it's kind of prohibitive, so it's easier to rewrite the whole thing from scratch. But it is, in fact, possible if you can get everyone who has a stake in the code to sign it over that they could change the license. However, the version that was put out under the GPL still exists and would still exist under the GPL. It would only be for new versions. So you could grab the version that they have now, because it's still under the GPL, fork it, and they could go, put all kinds of crazy restrictions and change the license and do whatever else. But the version you forked still exists and still exists under the GPL, along with all the copies of that code that were forked, because it would only be the new versions that they could change the library on, or the license on, I should say. I think I remembered that all right. I am not a lawyer. Somebody go check with the EFF.
Thank you, Electronic Freedom Foundation.
Frontier
are they still
Foundation.
On the good guys' side?
I don't actually know
they
anymore.
They haven't been corrupted yet?
They've taken some weird stances on things, but I think they're still technically on the side of good. So,
okay.
I see Fox is up in the other channel. Do we want to Shanghai him?
Yeah, I'll jump up and see what he...
All right.
User left your channel.
So we'll wait and see if Fox is going to get Shanghai'd or not, and... Foreign Legion recruited. What's the other way to say that? kidnapped. Let's see if Fox gets...
Voluntold.
Voluntold. There you go. And we'll see if he has any take on this Linux kernel stuff. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I hope it's just nothing comes of it. they threw the code of conduct out there to make some people happy, and that's kind of the end of it. But from seeing what happened in other areas, you know, when you kind of give in to the SJW types, they, you know, you give them an inch, they take a mile, or it's like a camel's nose kind of thing. You let the camel put its nose in the tent, and the next thing you know, the camel's in the tent. So,
yeah,
what's going to happen is it's going to break into groups, and then it's going to fall apart. Or the cancer is going to be excised before it gets too big. Like the atheism movement. It's split into the...
the whole atheism plus stuff.
And then, oh crap, I should know this. I listened to some of the people.
So are we getting a Fox or no?
Rationalists.
He wasn't sure.
Okay.
It's pretty much just going to split atheism plus and then whatever the other group is. And hopefully the same group is large enough to continue.
I don't think Atheum and Atheum Plus Plus is a good example. If you know the backstory, that sort of ended up one hell of a shit show.
Well, we'll have Linux and Linux Plus Plus.
Great, it's going to be a shit show.
Well, since Fox didn't give us a definitive, we're not going to wait and see if he had an opinion on that. And I think it's time to go ahead and move on. Let's see. Equifax slapped with... This is from TechCrunch. Equifax slapped with UK's maximum penalty over the 2017 data breach. Credit rating giant Equifax has been issued the maximum possible penalty by the UK's Data Protection Agency for last year's massive data breach. Albeit, the fine is only 500,000 euros because of the loss of customer data occurred when the UK's prior advocacy regime was enforced, rather than the tough new data protection law brought in via the EU's GDPR, which allowed for maximum penalties such as 4% of a company's global turnover for the most serious data breach failures. So again, Equifax has managed to dodge worse consequences over the 2017 breach, despite the hack resulting from its own internal process failings after it failed to patch a server that was known to be vulnerable for months, thereby giving hackers a soft spot to attack and wipe data on 147 million consumers. Personal information that was lost or compromised in the 2017 Equifax breach included names and dates of birth, addresses, passwords, driver's licenses, and financial details. The UK data protection regulator is involved because up to 15 million UK citizens' data was also breached in the attack. And while the hack compromised the Equifax US system, the UK citizens' data was being processed in the US. The UK's Information Counselor's Office said today that the UK arm of Equifax failed to take adequate steps to ensure its US parents were protecting this data. Reporting the result of its investigation, the ICO said Equifax contravened 5 out of 8 data protection principles of the Data Protection Act of 1998, including failure to secure personal data, poor retention practices, and lack of legal basis for international transfers of UK citizens' data. Equifax LTD has received the highest possible fine under the 1998 legislation because of the number of victims, the type of data at risk, and because it had no excuse for failing to adhere to its own policies and controls as well as the law, said Information Commissioner Elizabeth Denheim in a statement. We are determined to look after UK citizens' information wherever it is held. The loss of personal information, particularly where there is potential for financial fraud, is not only upsetting to customers, it undermines consumer trust in digital commerce. This is compounded with the company is a global firm whose business relies on personal data. The regulator's investigation carried out in parallel with the U.S. financial regulator, the Financial Conduct Authority, revealed multiple failures at the credit reference agency. The ICO said that measures... ICO said it found that measures should have been in place to manage personal information, whether personal information were inadequate and ineffective. And there were also significant problems with data retention, IT system patching, and audit procedures. It flags the fact that the U.S. Department of Homeland Security had warned Equifax about a critical vulnerability as far back as March 2017, noting that sufficient steps to address the vulnerabilities were not taken, meaning a customer-facing portal was not adequately patched. Many of the people affected would not have been aware the company held their data. Learning about the cyber attack would have been an unexpected and is likely to have caused particular distress, added Denheim, emphasizing there are reasons for the ICO to issue the maximum possible penalty for the breach. They keep talking about the maximum possible penalty, but and like Equifax finds that amount in the couch. So
yeah. It's a weekend of team building for Equifax.
Yeah. ICO also recently issued Facebook with the same level of fine for allowing user data on up to 87 million Facebook users to be scraped by a third-party app, which used it to try to build voter targeting models, selling this as a service to a political consultancy involved in U.S. elections. Multinational data companies like Equifax must understand what personal data they hold and take robust steps to protect it, she continued. Their boards need to ensure that internal controls and systems work effectively to meet legal requirements and customer expectations. Equifax Ltd. showed a serious disregard for the customers and personal information entrusted to them, and that led to today's fine. Equifax has responded with disappointment to the ICO's decision. In a statement responding to the ICO ruling, the company spokesperson said, "We have received the monetary penalty notice from the Information Consumers Office on Wednesday afternoon and are considering the detailed points made. Equifax has cooperated fully with the ICO throughout its investigation, and we are disappointed in the findings and the penalty." Oh, Muffet.
There's nothing they can. The penalty is absolutely fucking nothing, but there's nothing they can do about it because that was the law at that time.
Yeah. And changing the law retroactively usually ends poorly.
It ends terribly. Never do that.
But if they do another data breach, are they worth that much money anymore, considering how big a hit they took?
Yes.
Yes.
They are? Okay.
They were barely scraped. They're
scratched.
Scratched. The problem with Equifax, I don't choose to do business with them. So I don't choose not to do business with them. Their business was not affected by anything that happened. All the banks that were doing business with them are still doing business with them. All the creditors and businesses that were doing business with them are still doing business with them. So until JPMorgan Chase, Citizens, Bank of America, U.S. Bank, Time Warner, list whatever hospital franchise you want, until they say, go fuck yourself, Equifax. We don't care what you do. We're not paying to get your credit reporting, and we're not reporting to you. They're unhindered. And even the not reporting to them, since they have agreements with the other credit reporting agencies to share information, even if those businesses decide to stop doing business with Equifax, TransUnion still gives Equifax all of its information.
The soundboard is not playing in TeamSpeak. Is it making it out on the broadcast at least?
Yeah, it is. It is. I just double checked.
Okay, good.
I do a random product test every now and then.
I'm glad you did. Because
I just caught it now. I noticed it with the intro that we weren't coming through. I didn't think much of it. And then you played the sound over the top of Madman. I just thought I'd let you know that he didn't know you were playing that. And just there we go. Now it's coming through.
Yeah, I normally have that disabled so you all don't hear me screwing around with other sound-related stuff. But, whoops.
It's all good now.
So, double-check, Psychrosh, you did, in fact, hear the intro track, right? You heard the...
Yeah, the intro track went out on the station.
Okay.
It just didn't play. And I didn't think much of it because I was thinking, well, you'll kick in and I'll know that the show's started. And I didn't think about talking over clips.
Okay, fair enough. So, yeah, Psychro said he heard it. Cool.
Yep.
Yeah. So, a little explanation of how I'm running the station now. A little sidebar. I have two machines we're back on the two-machine setup. One's my minorly modified laptop with, like, three SSDs crammed in there, which you wouldn't know to look at, so it's kind of awesome. I have my mixing board. I have the soundboard, and then I have a handful of sound cards hooked up to everything. So there are actually three sound cards involved on my main rig. One runs the soundboard, so I can play things like this. And that one goes to the mixer. I have a second sound card that handles TeamSpeak. It's got a mono channel going in and out of it on the aux channels of the mixer, because this mixer supports... A group output and then the stereo output. So the stereo output's going to the broadcast box on its own sound card. Oh, and I have a third sound card that's just my system sounds on the main rig.
And then I have a decent sound card on the laptop so that everything doesn't ground loop all to hell. And I have devised USB power filters, which are DC to DC isolators rated for 5 volts and a couple of capacitors so that you don't get ground loops across all the USB and all the sound cards. Yeah, I should show how to make one of those sometime.
Now, this was all set up and built by The Verge, wasn't it? The highest standard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they put in that processor last and made sure they put a ton of heat grease on there. God help us all.
Linux. So yeah.
Heavily modified laptop running Linux. Of course, the main rig is running Windows because the software that does this... Shut up. Doesn't run on Linux, and to my knowledge, the last time I tried to run it on Wine, it did not work. So, because I need this, the main rig needs to be running Windows, which is also kind of handy for games. It's basically the only Windows box in the house, so everything else is Linux. But, yeah. So anyways, for anybody wondering and trying to envision how this all works, the trick is this Yamaha mixer, which, if anybody's curious, it's an MG12XU. And we are not using the USB connection on this thing because the internal sound card on this thing is way too quiet. I don't know if they've just got resistors wired across it to keep it from peaking or what, but it's way too quiet. And so I have a button on each channel for, is it going to the stereo out or is it going to the group out? So as a good example... the TeamSpeak output, specifically the voice channels from TeamSpeak, those are not going back in on group one. Almost everything else is right now. I normally kick off the soundboard, I'm running Machine. I got a Machine Studio off eBay for anybody who's curious how I'm doing the soundboard. I actually got a really good price on it, but I only had to do a little bit of refurb work on it because it was filthy and the knobs were terrible, but turns out that those are fairly cheap online too, and I have a 3D printer, so, you know, making a couple of knobs was not actually that hard. But anyway, so yeah, that's Machine Studios on its own sound card, and I normally don't route the output of it into TeamSpeak just because normally they don't want to hear me screwing around with it and, in fact, yell at me when I leave it going and forget about it. So... I simply forgot to hit the button before we started the thing to route the output appropriately. At one point, I was trying to do an all virtual setup, trying to do it all within brain function, the sound jack audio on Linux. I was trying to do all the routing virtually. And I almost had it working, but the problem I ran into is that TeamSpeak, because there are equivalent audio apps on Linux for some of this stuff, but TeamSpeak doesn't support jack audio, and none of the wrappers had it working very well, so I ended up having to like route it out to a sound card and run it back into a different sound card, so it kind of was defeating the point and ultimately didn't work all that well. So this is the setup I'm working on now. It works fairly well. The laptop records... one, it's also broadcasting after the stream. It also happens to record to a file share on my file server, which is mounted over NFS, that I can then pick up on the main rig, any editing I need to do, and then upload to the site. Now that I've put everyone to sleep, speaking of 3D printing, how about that Cody Wilson? Yeah, they said they were trying to, that they were going to charge him with sexual assault or something like that. I don't know. I didn't really follow it.
Yeah.
I think 3D printed guns are a dumb idea.
Yeah.
I think they explode.
I don't want to comment on that. Not yet, anyway.
I haven't read up enough on it.
I read a bit of it, and... Yeah.
So, I don't...
Yeah.
I don't want to comment on it, because I'm not up...
We'll just wait for the trial.
Yeah. Yeah, CNC is fine. Milled guns are fine. It's so if you're curious about why I think 3D printed guns are stupid, the way a 3D printer puts down the plastic, each layer is not as well bonded to the layer above and below it as if you had, say, done an injection molded plastic part where it's all one piece. If you go on YouTube and watch videos where people do 3D printing fails, and you know they show parts failing or intentionally breaking, most of the time they separate along the layer lines. So, and it's just the nature of that kind of manufacturing introduces a structural weakness of these layers. And for most applications where you're using 3D printed parts, you wouldn't care, you'd never notice. But when you're dealing with something with the tolerances and the forces of a firearm, even something like a 22, in many cases, your 3D printed handgun is not actually a gun. It's a hand grenade with a very short fuse. Because the 3D printed plastic is often not going to be strong enough to contain the forces of a bullet going off, even a 22, and it will turn to shrapnel. Now that said, if you're talking about CNCing or you have these mixed materials guns, because who's the guy building the Songbird? So the Songbird was a 3D printed gun. I forget the name of the guy who was putting it together, but he's done some videos and some posts on it. But he was actually buying barrels, replacement barrels for actual firearms, and then 3D printing the frame and some of the mechanics for the trigger around it. And the videos are pretty funny because he's got all these rubber bands to trigger for the hammer to have a spring. But that one is a little bit different because, yeah, he's making the frame on a 3D printer, but the part that actually handles the bullet going off, he's using actual gun parts for.
And the chamber.
Yeah, I've got no problem with that because, I mean, if you know what you're doing with gunsmithing, You're probably right there with me going, yeah, that's a dumb idea. But, if you're milling out your parts or using actual gun parts or at least materials that you think have a good chance of withstanding the force of the bullet going off, go nuts. Make your own guns. I encourage people to make their own firearms. I think that's cool. Backyard amateur gunsmithing. Just try to make, firearms and test them safely, as opposed to making bombs that go off in your hands. if that's right, he was selling that kind of a desktop CNC machine, which that's fine, that's cool. And it would come with instructions for, how to print out gun parts with it. Yeah, I got no problem with that. I mean, that's not, a CNC machine's not terribly different from how the actual gun manufacturers do it anyways. So
I do think it's crap that they said he had to pull down the designs. I think that's a violation of the First Amendment.
It is. Oh, no, absolutely. You should be able to download the designs and see how he's doing it. I'm just simply telling you that if you print out his Liberator pistol, maybe put it in a vise and take it to a range and talk to some people who know what they're doing before you try to shoot the thing. Just saying, because it's most likely, I wouldn't be comfortable doing any firearms on any of my 3D printers. I'll say that. Now, maybe if you had a high-end, $5,000 machine that's, properly tuned, it would make that kind of a high-quality part. Maybe we're having a different conversation. But if we're talking about the A-Net A8 you got for $120 on eBay used, I really don't think you should be printing a gun with that thing. It's a bad use of the tool.
Oh, but if you do, you need to film that and put it on YouTube. Not because I want you to get demonetized, but because I want entertainment on a Saturday night.
It's sort of like trying to make an engine block out of wood. You could probably do it, but I don't think it's a good idea. What'd you say?
Get you out of. I've seen it done. I've seen glass blocks as well. There's a channel that laser watches where I think the guy replaces the head of a small engine with wood.
I have seen that one. He does wood, he does a 3D printed part, he does a couple of other things. And yeah, the engine runs for a bit before it fails.
Yeah. It'll get you out of trouble, but it's not a long-term solution.
Yeah, so I guess if you're at the point where you need to 3D print ghost guns to deal with the oppressive regime or hunt supernatural creatures in nightclubs.
You're already in deep shit.
Yeah, at that point, I think it's Well, you're probably beyond listening to the advice of an internet idiot who happens to play with 3D printers a lot.
You're at the point of where you need to print a 3D gun to save you. You're better off sharpening a stick. Just saying.
So, where were we? You sent me this one. I think I forgot to call it out. RU also sent me the, what was the other BBC story?
Not the Equifax one, but...
No, the one we did right after that.
Doesn't worry me. Keep going.
Oh, we haven't done it yet. That's why we're confused.
That's why we can't remember it.
Yeah, this is the first... You sent me two, and I was thinking this is the second one. This is actually the first one. So, let's try this again.
Can't remember the future.
Why not? Damn it! That would make the lottery so much easier. So, this one is from RU. John Hancock adds fitness tracking to all policies. One of the largest life insurance providers in North America will no longer offer policies that do not include digital fitness tracking. John Hancock will now sell only interactive policies that collect health data through wearable devices such as a smartwatch. Policyholders can earn discounts and rewards such as gift cards for hitting exercise targets, but critics said the announcement was creepy and dystopian.
No shit. I'm going to say I called this 8 years ago.
Understatement of the year. The announcement was creepy and dystopian. Insurance brand Vitality, an international partner of John Hancock, has popularized the idea of interactive health and life insurance by offering discounted devices such as the Apple Watch in connection with its policies. John Hancock launched its first interactive policy in 2015 and will now apply the model across all of its policies. Activity tracking devices such as the Apple Watch and Fitbit can record how much exercise somebody is doing and can be used to log dietary choices. But privacy advocates have warned that insurers could use tracking data to punish customers who fail to meet targets. Naturally, the American dystopian surveillance state will combine insurance with fat shaming. Welcome to hell, said Matt Stroller, a fellow at the Open Markets Institute. However, the insurance industry says it is tightly regulated and must be able to justify rate increases or policy changes. No, we're not fat shaming. He's higher risk of cardiac arrest. That's why we're raising his rates.
Why has he got a higher risk of cardiac arrest? Because he's a fat cunt. Let's call it what it is.
I say this just after having my blood pressure medicine upped, but I think that's all the stress at work. So... Anyways, John Hancock said customers would not have to log their activities to qualify for coverage, but they would not benefit from discounts if they chose not to. In other words, they're going to make it so ridiculously expensive not to have a Fitbit. The company told Reuters it was too early to say whether it was paying fewer claims because of the Vitality program, but it said data had collected so far suggested that Vitality policyholders lived between 13 to 21 years longer than the rest of the insured population. Damn. 13 to 21 years.
I want to see the data.
I'm just waiting for people to say, okay, yeah, sure. And then 3D printing a little rig to, quote unquote, track the exercise while they're really sitting on the couch while the watch is over there on the shaking table or whatever it is.
Fuck that, man. Get a dog. Strap it to the dog.
Strap it to the dog.
I have just created my next employment. I will take people's Fitbits and a dog walking service and combine them.
We're going to put the Fitbit on your dog, and we're going to put a piece of bologna on the top of the countertop and place it just out of that dog's jumping reach and see how long your insurance is going through the floor.
Oh, hang on. Do dogs' heart rates, when excited, are roughly like a human's?
No, they're way higher.
Oh, you're going to get some fucking weird insurance fucking hikes.
Actually, it depends on the dog.
You're very, very in shape, and we think you're going to have a heart attack.
So, according to the record, you're going to have puppies. Wait, what?
Well, according to the Fitbit, you ran the 100 meters in 8.9 seconds. How did you do that?
The dental records indicate quite a lot of chewing on wood, so we're going to up your dentist insurance costs, but...
But on the bright side, you record the 100-meter dash.
That's what I mean. Like, dude, I can see this is just going to end terribly. Not for the insurance company, but for average people. This is going to end badly.
I think what you're eventually going to see is people... There's going to be some event, and I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's going to be. But there will be some event, and you're going to see people in the street stomping on cell phones and throwing these things down and running from them and doing their damnedest to get away from all this technology. I don't know what it'll be. It'll be something crazy. You kind of thought the Facebook thing might have made it happen, but
I thought if there was going to be a big shift away from it, I would have thought the Facebook thing, what's happening at YouTube, and just the negative press on it all. But that hasn't done shit. People love that fucking phone. And this is a stupid thing, man. They want to lower the speed limit everywhere in this country to stop people who are too stupid on their phones from stepping out in front of the car. So the driver has to, it's fucking... I seriously hate people who have mobile phones. They're just disgusting individuals. I'll put you in that box, Madman and Morps.
Yeah.
Filthy animals. Fair enough.
Well, I kind of play devil's advocate. I don't see too much of a problem. They're going to be charging the people who are the biggest strain on the healthcare industry the most money for healthcare. Because honestly, in most developed countries, what costs people in healthcare isn't I fell off a roof and fucked up my back. It's I spent my teens, 20s, and 30s eating enough food to feed three people. And now I have the diabetes, and I may need to amputate parts of my body. Or I've been smoking 5 packs of cigarettes a day since I was 13, even though it's been since the 40s that we've known cigarettes causes cancer.
Touché, Madman.
So, I don't see a big revolt, because that's going to be brought up every time they say, hey, that fat fuck is paying too much for insurance. It's like, no, he's paying the amount he's paying because he's a fat fuck. Guess what? If he meets his fitness goal, his insurance goes down 10%. And guess what? He'll probably live 20 years longer.
Until enough people start meeting their fitness goals. And at that point, we see the same effect we saw for water bills, where they're just going to start raising the fitness goals for everybody, and you'll have people trying to killing themselves in the gym for them. But, hey, that'll be a different problem.
Always trying to fucking make people do shit with their wallet, man. This makes you want to fucking opt out of everything, man, and just go live in a fucking hut in the middle of nowhere.
Well, if you want to influence people, there are two ways to do it.
I know,
through
man,
their
man.
Penis and through their money. Do you have a vagina?
Yes, it is currently getting very erect and hard.
Wait, what?
Exactly.
Our definitions of things vary greatly.
Well, I'm just confused.
I'm just getting frustrated with governments and corporations. Just, what, no, you're going to do it this way. Oh, you don't want to do it that way? Fuck, you're going to pay out your ass for it. But I didn't want to opt. And you can't opt out. I'm not making sense. But.
With the company thing, at least in this country, it's not an opt-out, it's an opt-in policy. I don't have to do business with them.
I just sort of see it from my end, because we've got universal health care. When is it going to come down the pipe that my government, right, you're going to have to wear your mandatory Fitbit 24 fucking hours a day?
Oh, and you're about 45 minutes after this becomes a good idea.
You get an opt-out option with that, you can just go, no, I don't want fucking health care. I'll take my chances, you know what I mean? I'll save my shekels, and if I get hurt or injured, I'll use that money. We're here, we don't have an opt-out. Everybody's in. You see the...
No, I see what you're saying. Did we lose you? Are you got so mad his internet connection died?
Connection lost.
Oh no, that was my connection. Oh. Shit.
Connected. User entered your channel.
No, that was TeamSpeak taking a dump.
That was TeamSpeak. Because kicked too.
The stream did the stream stop?
I don't know. I wasn't listening to the stream.
Cycros, did the stream stop? I think we just all got kicked out of TeamSpeak for like half a second. Yeah, stream never stopped, so he heard me sitting there cursing. I normally yell at the internet, but this is ridiculous.
But see, the way where I was getting at is ours is there's no opt out. I can see this being used in a very dystopian way as to control a population. You know, like the Big Brother, morning calisthenics. You know, everybody's, you know, fucking up, down, up, down. 1984. So, yeah, this shit worries me, man. It really does.
And whereas, in my point of view, not only is it opt in, but we also have an insurance alternative here. It's pretty much bill sharing, where so many thousands of people get together and just split their medical bills.
That's cool.
So I can opt that in lieu of insurance.
That's interesting, actually.
Yeah. It's generally 25% cheaper than insurance. A lot of Christian communities started doing it after they made abortifacients mandatory.
Huh.
And the way it works, let's say you break your arm. You effectively pay cash at the doctor. And by effectively, I mean they present the bill to whatever group you're with. They cut a check. And then whatever your bill is, it gets spread out over every member.
Huh.
So 1 month from a monthly insurance, it might be $25. Or if a tornado goes through the synagogue and a million people die or are crippled, it might jump up a bit.
Interesting. So, yeah, I don't know. I just, it is, I'm with Aryo on this one, that it does have a certain creep factor to it that just really doesn't sit well.
I'll say creepy, but I also think it might be a good idea. It could be the kick in the pants a lot of people need to finally do something about their lifestyle.
Oh, that's true. I mean, it could be.
Or at least now you're saying those people with the bad lifestyle are pulling the burden and everyone else is getting the discounts they deserve for actually being good in their life. And I'm going Aristotelian good, not moral good with that one.
Oh, okay. Well, let's move on to the next article here. This is from Computer World. There we go. And this one's just funny. For real, Windows 10 privacy, you need the Chinese government edition. Because Windows doesn't make much money for Microsoft these days, the company decided, beginning in Windows 10, that snooping on users a la Google and Facebook could be profitable. But one country said enough was enough, and it would stand up for its users' privacy. That country? The People's Republic of China. I say privacy because China is infamous for tracking its computer users and censoring the internet. Okay, the author wrote this in first person. And censoring the internet with the Great Wall of China. But just because the powers that be in Beijing want to know every move their users make or citizens make doesn't mean they want Microsoft to join in. So China gave Microsoft a choice. Rip out its snoopware or forget about selling Windows 10 to government and enterprise customers. Microsoft caved. Beginning a year ago, Microsoft developing a Chinese government-approved version of Windows 10 in partnership with the Chinese technology and defense company China Electronics Technology Group Corp. Well, give that a few years, and China's going to kick Microsoft out, and it'll be the Windows. It'll be the Chinese version of Windows put out by CTech. On May 23rd, Windows 10 China Government Edition was released. This version complies with Chinese government privacy and security standards. As Orten Capital noted, this version strips telemetry and data collection from Windows. Thus, in a bit of irony, the Chinese government-mandated edition is the only version of Windows since XP, or 7 before updates, that respects privacy rights of its users and is not, as of today, a data collection machine. Microsoft has gone along with this because while China has a huge number of Windows users, Microsoft makes barely a dime from them because software piracy is rampant in China. Just because Microsoft isn't snooping doesn't mean China hasn't had Microsoft built in the government spyware. So, So the rest of the article is kind of knocking on Windows and saying, you could try to get a copy of China Windows 10 China Government Edition. You don't have to worry about China instead of Microsoft writing you with your daily work. So, I love the fact that a special edition for the Chinese exists that doesn't have all the telemetry in it.
I kind of wonder why they just don't write off the Chinese market.
I do too.
Because you're right. They're just going to be Googled. Google went in with a partner. There's now Google China, and Google was kicked out. Microsoft is going in with the Chinese partner. They're going to be...
And they've explicitly said that that partner has access to the Windows source code. So it's going to be like, what, 15 minutes before the Chinese version of Windows gets released and it's just called something different?
Ooh, I might get Windows cheaper in the U.S.
Twice Good as much move. Bloatware. Twice as much bloatware and spyware, man.
Does it come with an egg roll? I really like me some egg roll.
Oh, God.
I love it. Madman does this show every fucking week. And I'm a consumer whore. Gotta care as long as it's cheaper and comes with free food.
They're spying on me now.
Wow. Does it come with an egg roll? Well, I'm going to be laughing at that for like an hour now.
Dude, next time a vendor rings up, look, if it ain't got a fucking side of egg rolls, get fucked. I don't want it.
I just hang up on them anymore at this rate, but that's a different that's problem.
Leave them confused now. Look, if it doesn't come with an egg roll, I don't care.
As opposed to my usual line of, I'm sorry, we don't do, you know, what company are you with? Okay, and you are, yep. We don't do business with cold callers. I'm putting you on the do not do business list.
Nice.
I've gotten yelled at for that one by the vendors screaming, you can't do that, you can't do that.
And it just got done.
But I just did it. You don't understand what the word, what the phrase you said means.
Yeah,
you don't want me to do it.
It's either that or just, you know, flat out hanging up on them. But either way, last article, and this is the second one that RU sent me from the BBC. I'm kind of, you know, Microsoft has shared the Windows source code with both the U.S. government, now the Chinese government, I believe the Russian government. I'm kind of surprised that shit hasn't leaked more than just that one or two times that parts of it leaked.
You People know, are surprisingly honest?
Yeah, I kind of figured...
Yeah.
I'm just surprised by it, because I kind of figured at some point the whole source code to the whole damn thing, and that hasn't really happened since XP, if I remember right. There were some parts of XP that leaked. But, you kind of expect there to be a leak of it in like the forked pirate version of Windows 10 that's awesome to float around out there, but you never see
it. I think it would happen overseas because the U.S., when it does stupid shit like that, tends to pay people.
Yeah.
So if it leaked in the U.S., Microsoft might get a windfall and here's a large sum of money.
All right, fair enough. So, let's see. Next article. This is from the BBC and was sent to me by RU. Internet regulator considered for the UK. The UK government is considering all options, including a regulator, as part of new legislation governing the internet. It has previously said it will publish a white paper in the coming months, laying out the proposals. According to BuzzFeed News, the white paper will propose a regulatory body similar to Ofcom, which regulates broadcasters and telecom companies. The government told the BBC it would publish the white paper this winter, but a spokesperson for the Department of Digital Culture, Media, and Sports said it had nothing to share at this time. A cross-party committee investigating misinformation and fake news has already suggested areas for new legislation ahead of the white paper. In July, it recommended reforming electoral law for the digital age, including clear rules about political advertising online, taxing social networks to pay for digital literacy programs in schools, greater transparency around online advertising. However, BuzzFeed News said the government's proposals would go further. It said it had seen details of the white paper, including forcing websites to remove illegal hate speech within a specific time period or face penalties, a similar law is enforced in Germany, making social networks verify the age of its users, punishing social networks that failed to remove terror content or child abuse images, restricting advertisements online for food and soft drink products that were high in salt, fat, or sugar. God.
Yeah, breathe it in. Breathe it in.
A spokesperson for the DCMS said the report was speculation. In a statement to BuzzFeed, it said, "We are considering all options, including what legislation will be necessary and whether a regulator is needed." I mean, just all of it. Just no, we get to control all of it. Fuck you. Oh, you want to advertise soft drinks? No, that's not allowed. Yeah, guys, 1984 is calling. Come on.
Can smell like the liberation coming.
Say that again, Matt Ben.
I like the hate speech. The whole, we deem it to be hate speech, you must remove it.
But what if we don't think it's hate speech?
Hate speech. Okay, I said it was hate speech. I've got the gun. I've got the army. It's fucking hate speech. You're removing it.
I'm not hosted in the EU. Fuck you.
Now you're talking like a European.
This is UK. They're leaving the EU.
No, they're not. They're going to do a redo.
They're becoming a vassal state, my friend.
No, they're already.
They're going to reject that exit proposal and come up with a good one. Nigel is riding in on his white horse, full plate armor, to the fucking rescue.
They're already talking about doing a redo.
With Sir Sargon of Applebee's right behind him.
God.
Wire. Sargon.
Squire Sargon of Applebee.
Sir Nigel Farage is the knight that makes Sargon the Squire.
I do not want to get in on this.
I'm not certain if that one made sense or not, truth be told. Let's
this won't end well either way, man.
But when it comes to regulating, I hate to say it, but if they have problems similar to the states, if they can't get the individual, I don't know, are they provinces in the UK? They can't get the individual provinces to get their head out of their ass. They might try a national approach. Of course, then they're going to have the problem of regulatory capture.
I think the problem with the UK right now, Madman, is they can't go back even if they wanted to, because that would have to, the ruling class would have to admit at least some fault.
Oh, I'm talking about the internet regulation. I'm not talking about Brexit.
Well, that too, even their porn pass and shit like that. Because you got to go down the fucking corner store and get your wank fucking pass for the day. You know, if you want to look at pornography soon.
Yeah, there's that.
I need to refill the beat meter, sir.
Yeah, that's what it is. Going to get a top up on my wanking license. Thanks, Governor. Terrible British accent. I should be embarrassed. But I'm not, because I don't have to buy a porn pass. That's embarrassing.
No, what's embarrassing is when they start categorizing the bitch.
Those little old ladies at the government office judging you.
A bag of carrots, a box of lube. And a 30-minute wank pass, thank you. That's a Friday night.
Down, just go nose down and call it a night.
All right, let's move on.
I used that a couple days ago.
Just gonna nose down and call it a night.
Yeah, and I was leaving. I was leaving the barber's store, and they were saying later, and I said, "Yeah, I'll nose down and call it a night." And they all just looked at me like I was fucking retarded.
Man, I'm sorry. Oh, that's right. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
Pretty much, yeah. It was almost the equivalent, like, "Oh, I just called that guy a nigger, and I'm not on the internet." Fuck.
All right, let's do this. Two things for us tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is a open source tool put out by Carlos Perez, who does good work, called DNS Recon. And specifically, it's on latesthackingnews.com where they cover it. They've got a nice little tutorial on using it. It's actually on GitHub. But DNS Recon is a Python script for DNS information gathering. DNS information about a target is an essential requirement for any penetration tester. DNS information helps mapping the network infrastructure of the target host. DNS Recon is a DNS reconnaissance tool that can perform a variety of enumeration, such as standard zone record enumeration, zone transfer, reverse lookup, Google lookup, zone walking, cache snooping, and domain brute forcing. And the standard record enumeration, it fetches all the records like the SOA, SRV, DNSSEC, and MX record. So pretty much this is a Python script for interrogating DNS records for a particular domain. You can use it to find mail servers. You can find out whether or not they support DNSSEC. And if their server supports zone transfers, which, yeah, you shouldn't be running into any servers that support that shit anymore. But we all know that's not the case. It'll do the zone transfer, and you can get all the domains that it knows about out of it. And it'll sit there and try to do DNS brooding, so you can use that to find internal servers that are on the internet and probably shouldn't be. So, anyways, though, if you don't know much about DNS, that's the part that makes the internet work. That's like the thing that translates Google.com into the number address of the computer that's hosting it. So it's pretty cool to kind of play around with, especially for the plumbing of the internet aspect of it. And the only thing with this tool is you want to be careful about what domains you punch into it, because whereas things like Google are probably hit all day long with this kind of stuff, it's going to be obvious and noisy to anybody who's watching their logs. So about 5% of the companies out there might catch you if you're running this against them. Everybody else is probably not reading their logs, and you're probably fine. The only problem is you don't know what 5%. So, anyways, but he's got a nice write-up here on using the tool and, you know, how to get it up and running. Looks like they were running it on a Kali instance. And then how to do some of the different lookups about it, and how to do get some information about various domain names. So again, good stuff for playing around with, especially if you're kind of playing around with the plumbing of the internet or doing pen testing. The last thing I have for you in Digital Dojo tonight is not something I'm certain I'm going to cover all the time in Digital Dojo, because not everybody has a 3D printer or wants to deal with that, but I just thought this was too cool not to cover. This is a Thingiverse link to a guy named MTDNA, who has made a 3D printable clone of the original Captain Crunch Bosun whistle.
The free phone call whistle?
Yes.
Yeah.
The 2600 hertz whistle. And even cooler is a link to Vimeo, where they actually have the original Captain Crunch explaining how to use the whistle to make free phone calls. Obviously, I doubt any of this works today, and if you are doing phone phreaking, a tone generator on your cell phone is probably the better way to go.
I want to go to a payphone now and do this after you 3D print me a whistle.
According to Psychros, they're all over eBay, but who the fuck cares? This is, I mean, there's, you know, making your own. I mean, come on. You're making your own, though, as opposed to just buying one on eBay. I mean, who cares about a kid's toy on eBay? I mean, yeah, there's some historical significance, but you know, you can print them in colors that they never came in, materials that they never came in. Yeah, I'm probably going to make a handful of these, if nothing else, just for fun and just to see if anybody else gets the joke. But anyways, I just thought that was really fucking cool. Oh, Cycross is seeing the 3D printed copies on eBay. Yeah, an original one would be something to kind of hang on to, wouldn't it? Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you want to go on Shapeways or eBay and find one who's... Screw that, make your own. Get a 3D printer, make your own. They're not even that expensive anymore. You can easily get a decent one under $200. I mean, hell, I just got an Ender 3. And whereas so far, the only thing I've done that... it does PLA fantastically. I've put some PETG through it. Not that great. But I also haven't done much tuning on it yet. So there's, I can probably get that working a lot better than it is right now. Layer separation and pillowing. So I don't know if I'm not printing it hot enough or printing it too hot. It's... You know, layer separation usually means you're printing it not printing hot enough, but pillowing means you're printing too hot. So it's like, I'm getting both those. What's that mean?
Your deck point's too hot and your nozzle's too cold?
No. No. It might mean I need to turn the nozzle up and turn the fan up. I mean, that's kind of a dumb way to do it, but whatever. But no, you know, if you have a 3D printer, get some interesting filament. You know, print one of these. Have some fun. And, you know, an interesting color. I've got some polyalchemy elixir filament. That stuff looks awesome. And it prints fairly nice. So I might print one of these and some of that stuff because it's all shiny. That or print one of them with, like, one of the carbon fiber things that you have a whistle that'll survive a small impact. I don't know.
I wanted to punch a man with this whistle, so I made it.
So, yeah, I need to 3D print a handful of these. Anyways, so I don't know about doing the 3D printed parts as a part of Digital Dojo. I mean, this is just cool, but I don't know if that's something regularly I should do or not, because it's, of course, not everybody has a 3D printer or an interest in 3D printers. So, I don't know. I'm just trying something out here. So, we'll see how well that works. And if I get any complaints or feedback about doing a Thingiverse link for Digital Dojo. Anyways, that's all I've really got tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Galaxy 15. Radio.com, the main website, the Galaxy 15 radio channel on Freenode is the IRC. Cycross, and Iron Angel are in there tonight. And, of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. The Galaxy 15 subreddit is also a good place to get a hold of us. That's all I've got. Madman, closing thoughts.
I just figured out why I had to click the last link in TeamSpeak. I didn't get re-signed into
IRC. The channel.
Yeah, IRC whenever I got kicked.
So your internet went out then?
Yeah, it wasn't just your TeamSpeak. My internet must have been affected. It just happened whenever TeamSpeak was hiccuping.
Well, that's weird because my TeamSpeak...
That is weird.
I lost TeamSpeak, but I didn't lose the stream. And I didn't lose anything else, just TeamSpeak. So I thought the TeamSpeak server must have took a hiccup. And I did get a note that they were doing maintenance on the DigitalOcean servers where you run it. So, you know, it happens. And then when everybody was signing back into TeamSpeak, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, TeamSpeak took a shit. But you actually got kicked out of the IRC, too.
Yeah.
Did you lose your whole internet, too, at that same time, or just TeamSpeak?
No, just TeamSpeak. It went down and then was straight back up.
Yeah, so it was like a routing change was made or something.
Yeah.
So.
Eh.
Good. If anyone's looking to kill a couple of hours this week, movie recommendation, Wind River, and American Animals. Two good films. Enjoy.
Nice. So, I guess that was your closing thoughts, are you?
That is my closing thoughts.
All right.
I have nothing.
So
nose down and call it a night.
All right. Well, I guess we can do that then. That's all I got. Guess it's time to close out the show.
Down, let's go nose down and call it a night.